540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Conditions are getting worse as Hurricane Idalia hones in on Georgia and the Carolinas.
I'm Jim Crisula in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Rain, heavy at times, is falling here along the Grand Strand as Idalia heads this way. Some businesses have stacked sandbags in front of doors and windows, while a few have boarded up windows. Tropical storm warnings are posted for coastal areas of Georgia and the Carolinas, as are flood and tornado watches.
Idalia is still a hurricane at this point, but forecasters say it should weaken soon to a tropical storm. Meantime, Florida is in recovery mode now, and Governor Ron DeSantis says early assessments show this is not as bad as last year's big storm.
With Hurricane Ian, as soon as that storm hit, within an hour after hitting, there were frantic phone calls to 911 locally there of people that were literally drowning in their house. We have not seen that in the same way on this storm.
At least two deaths have been linked to Idalia. President Biden says he's sending federal aid to the South, but he has not forgotten about Hawaii.
I want to be clear with the people of Maui about what to expect. The work we're doing is going to take time, in some cases a long time.
There is now proof that Russia's working with North Korea in its war with Ukraine. Here's CBS's Kimmy McCormick.
The White House says intelligence shows Russian President Putin and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un have exchanged letters about munitions for the war, and talks are advancing. North Korea, meanwhile, has launched another ballistic missile. This test came just hours after the U.S. flew a long-range bomber to the Korean Peninsula in a show of force against the North.
Former Proud Boys leader Enrique Tarrio's sentencing for orchestrating attacks on January 6 has now been delayed till Tuesday. The judge was sick today. Prosecutors want 33 years. Rudy Giuliani just got hit with a default judgment for defaming poll workers in Georgia.
A victory in court for former Georgia election workers Shea Moss and Ruby Freeman in their defamation lawsuit against former Trump advisor Rudy Giuliani for baseless claims made after the 2020 election. There'll be a trial to determine how much Giuliani will have to pay, but the judge says Giuliani simply defied the court and this lawsuit and said, donning a cloak of victimization may play well on the public stage, but not in court.
CBS's Scott McFarland there. And some tennis players are now complaining that it smells like Snoop Dogg's living room at the U.S. Open. Security believes it's coming from a nearby park, but there's not much they can do. Weed is legal in New York. This is CBS News.
When you think of hiring, think of Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A beach hazard statement winds down this evening for Lake Michigan beaches. 3 to 6 foot waves and strong currents have been impacting the area since yesterday. A Waukesha County zip code is one of Realtor.com's hottest zips of 2023. Jimmy Koska has more.
53005 in Brookfield is ranked 16th among the 20 hottest zip codes. Homes in this area receive 3 times more property views compared to the national average, with houses spending an average of 27 days on the market and a June listing price of $472,000. Another Wisconsin zip code, 54703, which is Eau Claire, made the list at 46th place.
Gas prices have come back down a little bit, but the hurricane could impact that. The average today in Milwaukee County is $3.71 a gallon. It's 3 cents higher in Waukesha County. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. teachers learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripescast is just the butter on my cheese.
Cockroaches, not that bad. They call them palmetto bugs in South Carolina. Same thing, you can call them up here.
Are they really palmetto bugs?
And they're a great source of protein. They're going to be the lobsters of the future.
They also got salmonella, and they can lay like 40 eggs at once.
Well, they gotta work out a few kinks there, okay? They gotta work out a few kinks.
Cripescast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
Your smoke in my hair, hot and dirty like the LA air. That face, baby, it ain't fair. But you don't know, what you don't know, what you don't know. Ooh, so you wanna talk about power? Ooh, let me show you power. I eat boys like you for breakfast.
I've eaten some boys for breakfast, just saying. Because I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you or someone you love is in Florida, and you want to give us an eyes-on, direct, firsthand account of what's going on with Hurricane Idalia, last I saw, there was at least two reported dead. You know, and again, Ron Johnson thinks climate change is good because fewer Wisconsinites will die. So screw Florida. That's per Ron Johnson. If you want to weigh in, let us know what's going on. Please do call us, 844-967-2789. It's going to be a test for Ron DeSantis, I think, to see how he manages through this. He's a guy with a lot of bluster, right? Like Meatball Ron, bully people and weirdly smile and whatever. Well, now you've got yet another test and there's people in need. And are you going to rise to the moment? And I think it's worthy of mention that Joe Biden has promised aid, and he did so before the hurricane hit. And unlike Donald Trump, he's not going to make that aid contingent upon the political agreement of that state, the political agreement of the folks that are in leadership in that state. He's just going to provide the aid that every Floridian who is harmed and hurt and potentially made homeless by this hurricane. That's leadership. Let's see if Ron can keep himself from politicizing this moment, because that's the test of leadership. When the chips are down and lives are at stake, can you rise above the fracas? So watch this space. Again, if you or someone you know and love is in Florida, can give us an eyewitness account, please do give us a call here on the Maggie Dawn Show, 844-967-2789. Much to talk about today. Enrique Tarrio was supposed to be sentenced. The judge got sick. Enrique Tarrio is the leader of the Proud Boys. He's been convicted of seditious conspiracy, and the DOJ has asked for 33 years in prison. So he and another one of his, I think there's four other people that have been convicted that are being sentenced in front of this judge, and it looks like most of them are going to be delayed to sometime next week. So watch this space. I'll certainly weigh in on that when it happens. But there were two other Trump-adjacent things that happened in American courts today that I want to talk about before we get to the cluster blankety-blank that is the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And the first one I want to start with, oh, I forgot one thing. Before we get there, Anya, I really want to take a minute and have everybody observe what's going on with Mitch McConnell. And I think maybe the thing speaks best for itself, Anya. So why don't we let the audio play through today about what happened just a couple of hours ago with Mitch McConnell addressing a group of reporters. Go ahead with that sound, Anya.
Thoughts about what?
Running for re-election in 2026.
Oh. That's
Did you hear the question, Senator? Running for re-election in 2026?
Yes.
All right, I'm sorry, you all. We're going to need a minute. Senator. Benny.
Yep. So we're going to roll this clip again, because I want to set up exactly what happened. I want everybody to hear it for themselves first, and then I'll give a little context. We're going to listen to it again. So he's talking to a group of reporters. A reporter poses a question about, are you, Senator, going to run again for re-election in 2026? Obviously, the age question is coming up all over the place in politics right now. Frankly, being a Gen Xer myself, I'm 46, we could talk a lot about sort of Gen Xers in absentia from the political scene, but that's a topic for a different day. So he's been asked this question. There's a big pause, and then he sort of mumbles and asks for the question to be repeated. That's where this audio picks up, and the reporter is repeating the question. I know it's a little bit hard to hear, so crank it on up, Anya. We're going to let it roll again because it is concerning. Go ahead and let's hear it.
What are my thoughts about what?
Running for re-election in 2026.
Oh,
Did you hear the question, Senator? Running for re-election in 2026?
Yes.
All right, I'm sorry, you all. We're going to need a minute. Senator. Benny.
Yep.
Okay.
Somebody else have a question? Please speak up.
Yeah.
About what?
It's not good. My immediate thought when I read about this and then watched it today was, please don't die, Senator McConnell. Please do not become incapacitated. And I couldn't disagree more strongly with Senator McConnell's policy positions. But he has been one of the only elected officials that's in a leadership position for the Republican Party that hasn't completely supplicated himself to Donald Trump. I'll never give him credit, but he's the absence of evil doing when it comes to Donald Trump. His policies have evil impacts, very hurtful, harmful impacts. I disagree with him on almost every possible policy you can think of. But I think we all should be sending whatever human consciousness we can to help Senator McConnell stick with this term and to remain in leadership in the Senate, because boy, that would be a very scary power vacuum in the Senate. We're hearing from some of our Facebook friends who are watching. You can always watch me live on Facebook, also on YouTube. It has to be hard for his family right now to watch this happen. He's always been a politician, very much in control, and he's clearly not in control right now. Very sad to see. It is, and it should be scary for all of us. And on the flip side, can you imagine what would be happening on Newsmax and OAN and Faux News if President Biden did that? If you haven't seen these videos, when you watch the video of this basically happening, what, like a month ago, and then you watch this one, it is terrifying. We're hearing from one of our WAUK listeners on the text line. I can't stand the man, but as a human being, it is terrifying to watch. Also from a listener on WMDX, looks pretty sad. He's lost weight and he looks very confused. Yeah. You know, there are 80 plus year olds, octogenarians in the literal sense, who are still kicking, right? Still got it, still doing the thing, still vibrant, still active. I mean, for crying out loud, President Biden works out more than I do. I mean, the guy's logging, what, like 4 or 5 days a week in the gym? Now, I know Joe can get a little mealy-mouthed and sort of prattle on, but can't we all after a long day? I certainly have. But this is a moment where you're seeing one of the only people who hasn't bowed down at the MAGA altar in this compromised state. That should be a moment of concern for us all. So I hope you join me today and again, sending everything that we can in our human consciousness to Senator McConnell and his family. Please hang on, sir. The country needs you. Not to enact any policies, mind you, but to just not be yet another one that trades integrity for power. So, getting back to the topics of the day, two cases where major legal activity happened today, and I'm going to talk about both of them. If I do not have time to get to the Wisconsin Supreme Court blankety-blank show, I will tomorrow. What happened in these two cases today, one you probably haven't heard of, the other I've talked about on the air, to me was just their watersheds. Their watershed moments, because you're starting, you know, these fissures, these cracks in this wall of ignorance and hate and lies and deceit, those cracks are getting bigger. And today we saw two examples of that. Both in federal court. Excuse me, one in federal court, one in state court. So the first case that I'm going to just get us started on is the Giuliani defamation case in Georgia. Again, we're talking about the two Georgia elections workers who Giuliani admitted in a court filing in this case that he lied about. He admitted that he defamed them. The man used racist dog. I mean, they're not dog whistles. He was just using racist language to refer to these women, like they're passing around like crack pipes or something when they were, you know, doing their job and handing a USB drive to one of them. These were the people that, oh, they came up with suitcase of fake ballots and they're, you know, stuffing the ballot boxes. No, there were valid ballots that weren't counted and they were moving them. Of course, you know, no one on Donald Trump's side bothers to fact check all of that before they get on national news and talk about it. So this is the case where Giuliani has already admitted in a legal filing that he is a liar. The same Giuliani who, when he turned up last week for his mugshot, talked about how everybody else is a liar. Well, you, sir, have admitted in a court filing that you are a liar. And today the court had just about enough. And the language is incredible. I'm going to share it with you when we get back. I want to know what you think about these two cases after I lay them out for you. And if you want to weigh in right now on the Giuliani matter, you can do that. 844-967-2789. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. Face, baby, it ain't fair, but you don't know what you don't know what you don't know. I eat boys like you for breakfast, one by one hung on my necklace. They'll always be mine. It makes me feel alive. I eat boys like you for breakfast, and I know that you try your bestest. I never said it's right. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry, Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows dip down to about 48 tonight under clear skies. Northeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Bright sunshine expected again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 75. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 51. High temperatures reach up to 81. Friday, under clear skies. 91 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 64 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
That should be my, like, ode to Anya for every show.
Heck yeah.
That's so sweet. It's from the Barbie movie.
You're my inspo. I love it.
That's so sweet.
Big hearts. Let's go right to the phones. Dave from Florida, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What's it like down there? What's going on?
Well, actually, we're kind of back to normal. We were very, very fortunate here in Clearwater, Tampa area. We had some good storm surge. I woke up to about a foot of water in my yard. I'm about 800 foot from Old Tampa Bay. And then, of course, the intercoastal, they had the beach areas closed and all the causeways. But actually, we were, like I said, very, very fortunate. It went a little bit further west, and then, of course, Cedar Key took a good hit. But I have to say this, Florida does a good job with emergency management when it comes to these hurricanes. And then on top of it, we got lucky.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that you and yours are safe, Dave. I've heard some reporting. I don't remember exactly what island community it was, but apparently they've been almost completely flooded out and effectively cut off, not unlike what happened with Sanibel, the last hurricane. Do you know anything about that? Have you heard from any friends in any areas that are more severely affected?
I don't have any friends, but I would imagine in Cedar Key, what ends up happening is you lose power and then you lose your communications and,
right.
You know, basically you're left to the vices of law enforcement and emergency management, and they don't really, you know, and it's sad in today's world, but they're not as straightforward with us as they should be. And well, a good example is what happened in Maui.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate.
Say, I mean, we're prone to failure. All we can do is our best.
I hear you, Dave. Me too, brother. You always got a friend on the Maggie Dawn Show. Thanks much for the call. You are welcome anytime, sir. You know, emergency management is sort of an art form all unto itself. It is extremely difficult. And what Dave was describing, which I think is really important for all of us to understand, especially us folks here in the Midwest who don't experience these sorts of things. The specific phenomena that I want to talk about is if you don't have a Jenny, you don't have a generator, and your power gets knocked out by a hurricane, in other words, water-related, you can be without power for days. So imagine yourself, like everything's dead, and waters are rising in your home. How are you calling for help? So emergency management has to assess those things on a very real-time basis. They are making decisions about how to deploy resources. And it is dicey business. Florida's had a lot of practice. We're going to have more and more practice, more and more every year, because these phenomena are now happening with greater acuteness and greater frequency, despite Ron Johnson's assertions that global warming is good for Wisconsinites and screw everybody else, especially those people in Africa, because they don't matter to us here in the United States, apparently, at least not to Ron Johnson. I really appreciate the call. Again, you got anybody in your family, anybody that you know down in Florida, if you can give us an eyewitness account, some firsthand information, we'd appreciate it. 844-967-2789. So I was talking Giuliani, the defamation case. He's admitted that he lied about these two women, these female election workers also happening to be black. He admitted that earlier in the case. And what has gone on since then is pretty incredible. To avoid us going down a complete rabbit hole about what civil discovery is in litigation, civil discovery is not really a highly debatable thing. You don't have to actually even prove relevance. It may be relevant. It's only when you sort of ask for discovery of such a volume that's so clearly unrelated to the case that it's considered vexatious, will a court really rein it in? But discovery is where the opposing side basically gets to say to you, give me everything that's relevant to our case, to this dispute that we're having. And you are legally compelled in the United States judicial system to turn that stuff over. And oh, by the way, once you have any idea that a lawsuit might happen, guess what else you're required to do? Preserve all that information. You don't get to do what Enron did, those evildoers, and start, you know, putting it all through the shredder because, you know, the litigation's coming. Or in Enron's case, criminal prosecutions. So these two women asked for a whole bunch of financial disclosures, emails, basically trying to explore and find the documents in Rudy's personal emails and whatever communication devices he was using that he knew damn well they didn't do anything wrong and was intentionally lying about it the entire time. Now, again, just because he's admitted to lying doesn't mean that they don't get the discovery. They do. And basically, Rudy Giuliani has refused to produce the documents. So today, U.S. District Court, I have to correct myself, live corrections on the air. This is federal court. So U.S. District Court Judge Beryl Howell issued a 57-page ruling, and I'm going to read you a little bit of it when we come back from break because it is outstanding in sort of the eyebrow-raising way. Judge Howell today basically said, you don't turn over the documents and admit you lied? Default judgment for these two women. Now we're going to go to damages phase. It is big, and we're going to be there, and I'm going to share some of that with you when we come back, the exact language from a 57-page scorched earth opinion from an Article 3 federal judge. Usually discovery opinions when people screw up are about 3 to 4 pages. This one, 57 pages, and the ladies win by default because you will not comply with the most basic requirements of U.S. jurisprudence. He's a liar and a cheat, and his name is Rudy Giuliani. I hope he sees the inside of a prison cell. I'm going to tell you more about that when we come back.
When we come back. Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Idalia is now a tropical storm after slamming into Florida this morning as a Category 3 hurricane. Reporter Jason Allen is just north of Cedar Key right now, where that storm made landfall today.
More than 500,000 customers across Florida lost power. By midday, about half had the lights back on.
Utility workers are actively working to restore power in all affected areas.
Rescue crews are still pulling drivers from flooded roads. Meantime, President Biden promised to get FEMA aid down to those affected by Idalia, but he also insisted he hasn't forgotten about Hawaii.
I don't think anybody can deny the impact of the climate crisis anymore. Just look around.
Just in time for Labor Day weekend.
What do we want? When do we want it?
American Airlines flight attendants have voted to go on strike. They want a new contract with improvements to quality of life, including big pay raises. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The Lake Michigan beach warning runs through early tonight.
A beach hazard statement remains in effect until 7 o'clock this evening for Milwaukee, Racine, Kenosha, and Lake counties. With winds gusting on the open waters, it's creating life-threatening waves of 3 to 6 feet high and dangerous rip currents. Do not swim at McKinley Beach, Grant Park Beach, North Beach, and Simmons Island Beach. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
A medical emergency likely led to a car hitting a sidewalk and crashing into a sign near a Waukesha Park this morning. It's believed a child jumped out of that car near Woodburn and Willowwood, reporting that the driver was having a seizure. A street sign and two mailboxes were struck. With the start of classes about a week away, the Waukesha School District is currently seeking crossing guards. They're paying about $28 a day, and that's for about 2 hours worth of work. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes. Good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you are interested in buying any ad time, because we've got hackers' licenses with some of the Civic Media Radio Network stations, give us a call. You can call 844-967-2789, and we'll get you going to the right folks to get you hooked up. But Civic Media, now a place where you can listen to basically all of your favorite sports coverage on one of our radio station within the network, which I think is so exciting. I also want to share that I'll be talking about sports a little bit more. Apparently, people didn't know that I'm kind of a sports junkie. The only two things that I don't watch any of, because no, I just can't, is soccer. I mean, I played rugby. I cannot handle the theatrics. What are they rolling around on the ground? I don't understand this. Just like 80 minutes of boredom for 30 seconds of something happening. I admire their conditioning. That's impressive. But like, you ever watch professional rugby players? If you know, like the best soccer player in the world and the best rugby player in the world met in an alley, I'll tell you who I'm betting on. It's not the soccer player. So I don't do soccer and I don't do hockey.
I watch a little hockey, so I'll help there, but I'm also not a soccer person. So
I mean, I'll go to an Admirals game with the best of them, right? And like guzzle down some Miller Lights and like listen to the fun fan atmosphere and cheer. I lived in Denmark for a while, went to hockey. I got no idea what's happening. One of my dad's best friends played for the Admirals back in the 70s. He actually because of the missing teeth, you know. God bless you, Tim. Anyways, returning to the subject at hand, pardon the interruption. Oh, wait, that's a sports show. Rudy Giuliani has now had a default judgment entered against him by Judge Beryl Howell in Georgia, finding that as a matter of law, the two election workers are entitled to a judgment in their favor. The only issue now is going to be how many millions of dollars does he have to pay them? His argument is, yeah, I might have defamed them, but First Amendment. Yeah, Rudy, you don't get to call people crackheads and accuse them of dereliction of duty, of the most grievous crimes against our country on national television for weeks on end when you knew it was false. When they received death threats, which is what we call damages in fancy legal terms. I believe Rudy Giuliani was once a highly esteemed lawyer, so he would understand that. But let's get to the decision, and then I'm going to go to the phones if you want to weigh in on this one. Admitted liar, disgraced lawyer, soon to be completely disbarred, Rudy Giuliani, and oh, he might be filing for bankruptcy sometime soon as well. Grecian formula, Four Seasons landscaping parking lot, Embassy Suites asylum seeking, liar, liar, pants on fire. This is what a federal court judge had to say about Mr. Giuliani today in a unbelievable 57-page ruling. I only had time to get through about 10 pages of it. Believe you me, everybody, I'm going to read the whole thing, and you will have more juicy quotes brought to you by none other than Maggie Dawn. Again, he could have avoided this outcome if he just would have turned the gosh darn documents over that the plaintiffs are entitled to as a matter of just baseline, rudimentary jurisprudential procedure in the United States. This happens every case. It's like, oh, yeah, when we turn the documents over, we might argue for more, but like we turn the documents over. I represented Enron back in the day. We turned the documents over. Well, not Enron directly, but one of its banks. I digress. Today is a day of digressions. Please don't send me any death threats. That's a long and winding tale, which I've told on prior shows. You can find them on our podcast space at civicmedia.us. Here's what Judge Beryl Howell had to say. Giuliani was chided line after line for, quote, donning a cloak of victimization and undermining the discovery process in what should have been a, quote, straightforward defamation case, quote, rather than simply play by the rules designed to promote a discovery process necessary to reach a fair decision on the merits of plaintiff's claims. Giuliani has bemoaned plaintiff's efforts to secure his compliance as punishment by process. Yes, legal process is often expensive and time-consuming, but when you call people crackheads and accuse them of crimes to undermine the election in Georgia, and you do it knowingly, when you know that that's garbage for weeks on end, yes, someone may sue you, Rudy. The judge went on. The result of these efforts to obtain discovery from Giuliani is largely a single page of communications, blobs of indecipherable data, and a sliver of the financial documents required to be produced, as well as a declaration and two stipulations from Giuliani, who indicates in the latter that the stipulations, in the latter stipulations, his preference to concede plaintiff's claims rather than produce discovery in this case. Let me unpack that for you. He's like, oh, I don't actually have to produce any discovery because I admitted that I'm a liar. So let's just get on with it. That isn't how it works. When you want to debate with someone over what damages you should pay and assert that you had a First Amendment right to lie about people resulting in death threats, yeah, they get to still comb through your finances. They get to still look at all of the documents, the emails, the text messages that show that you knew you were lying. Why? Because it's relevant to how much you're going to pay. He knows this. The judge continues. Howell said that his admission had, quote, more holes than Swiss cheese. Just side note here. This is not how federal judges usually talk. You have to get a federal judge like so mad for them to speak like this. More holes than Swiss cheese. And Giuliani was, quote, trying to bypass the discovery process and a merits trial at which his defenses may be fully scrutinized and tested in our judicial system's time-honored adversarial process, and to delay such a fair reckoning by taking his chances on appeal. I'll finish reading it, and I'll share with you the other juicy tidbits I find. But he's already been sanctioned $132,000 in this case. He sent his son to Mar-a-Lago to beg the orange man for more money to help with his legal defenses. He's selling his $6.5 million condo in Manhattan. He hasn't paid a $300,000 legal bill that he owes to the company that was supposed to help him with discovery. It goes on and on. And the results here for Giuliani is you lose. You don't comply with court orders on discovery, you lose as a matter of law. This is watershed. Because here's what. You are so wedded to covering up your lies, your knowing deceit, your defrauding of the American public, Mr. Giuliani, that you are willing to risk default judgment and the award of millions of dollars rather than allowing your documents, your evidence to be seen in a court of law. That is how willing they are, how ready they are to engage in an active cover-up. He will not let his knowing lies be seen by the public through the airing of evidence in court. What do I always say? Show it or shove it? I'm talking to you, Mr. Giuliani. You can go shove it. So says Judge Beryl Howell of the U.S. District Court in Georgia. We're going to go to the phone lines. Eric from Lodi, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you, sir?
Yeah. Hey, so I'm not a lawyer, so I have a question. And I'm wondering if maybe the reason that they are not sharing discovery is because they're afraid it could be used against them in the criminal prosecutions. Is that maybe a possibility?
It certainly could be, though I would argue that much of that information is probably already in the possession of Jack Smith. So it's really about the specificity with which these two women would use that information to effectively potentially prove actual malice. And actual malice is a legal term that he knowingly basically went after these women, and that it was reasonably predictable that they would suffer very real harms, very real psychological trauma. Great question. Do you have another one, Eric? I don't want to cut you off if you got any more questions.
No, I was just kind of wondering about that because I know Fonnie Willis, I'm not sure how cooperative he was with her. So I was wondering maybe he's trying to stave off some Georgia issues there.
I think all of that's, Yeah. Thanks for the call, Eric. I think all of that is largely at play, right? But here I want to explain why this matters so much, because this case was just about these two women. It's very human. They were threatened. There were these people dispatched to these women's houses by somebody who used to be a PR representative for R. Kelly. There was some minister who had never met them before, showed up at their house. I'm here to help you. And blah. I mean, it's just bad, bad, bad news. And it's so human. These are two people who could be any of our neighbors. And to see just regular folk get completely decimated by this cult in a way that caused them such grievous harm. The focus of this case is, I think, why Giuliani didn't want to turn any of it over. Because it would put a human face, a human cost on what all of these lies have equated to. CJ, what do you have to say?
Thank you, Maggie. Here I come. I think Rudy should pay for this. He should be gone like George Santos should be gone. But I want to point out a fact that...
Before you get there, can I just say, hooray, we have agreement on two things. Giuliani should pay and George Santos has no business in Congress. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, so you're saying evidence shouldn't be destroyed, but you're okay with Hillary's 33,000 emails. And I bet you Christopher, the ambassador at Benghazi, I bet you his family cares about it. And that's the hypocrisy of your side, Maggie. You don't want justice on both sides.
You do realize that there was a criminal investigation as to what happened with those emails, and there was no conclusion that any of that was destroyed intentionally. So again, my point, CJ, is show it or shove it. CJ, my point to you, sir, is you can say whatever you want on the radio because it makes for a good soundbite, but we prove things in a court of law. Show it or shove it.
Yeah, right.
They had no evidence to prove that those emails were intentionally deleted. So insinuations aren't what we do here in the United States. We prove allegations.
We now know the FBI lied with James Comey, Clapper. The list can go on.
Are you just going to list a whole bunch of names and accuse them of all being liars? By the way, James Comey effectively did your guys' bidding by reinvigorating the Hillary Clinton investigation against longstanding DOJ policy a month before the election. Get your facts straight, my friend. Let's not just list a bunch of conspiracy theories. Although maybe you'll join me for another conspiracy theory game in another week. Good to hear from you, CJ, as always and ever. Mark from the SAC, you are on the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you, friend?
Oh, God, Benghazi, William Christopher, I think that was the ambassador's name. He chose to go to Benghazi because he cared about the people there in Libya. And unfortunately, Congress had cut back on the funding for defense of those diplomatic outposts. So, I mean, I just wish that would go to bed. That it was not Hillary Clinton's fault that William Christopher died and those other ones died in Benghazi.
Mark? I mean, like, the entire, first of all, it's not 2012, and we're talking about a different set of problems, okay?
Right.
And I didn't see anybody storming the Capitol on behalf of Hillary when she lost the election, did we? And here's what. Unless you actually want to make an argument to me that Hillary Clinton wanted Americans to die in Benghazi, we're arguing around the margins, and those margins are a bunch of baloney. I got to go to break, Mark. You can hold on. I'll come back to you after the break. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Network. Keep it locked, everybody. I'm going to give you a taste of this other case, which I guarantee you haven't heard about, right after this break.
Uh-oh. Did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry. Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Jerry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows around 48
tonight.
Under clear skies,
northeasterly winds
around 5 miles an hour.
Temperatures reach up to 75.
Tomorrow,
bright sunshine.
Lows dip down to about 51.
Tomorrow night,
clear skies.
Dry
and turning warmer
Friday and Saturday,
with highs from the low 80s
to the low 90s.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 64 degrees.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Wrong, sir. Wrong. Under Section 37B of the contract signed by him, it states quite clearly that all offers shall become null and void if, and you can read it for yourself in this photostatic copy, I, the undersigned, shall forfeit all rights, privileges, and licenses herein and herein contained, etc., etc., fax mentis, incendium gloria culpum, etc., etc., memo bis punitor delicatum. It's all there, black and white, clear as crystal. You stole fizzy lifting drinks. You bumped into the ceiling, which now has to be washed and sterilized, so you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
I'll be the last one standing, two hands in the air, I'm a champion. You'll be looking up at me when it's over. I live for the battle, I'm a soldier. Yeah, I'm a fighter like Rocky. Put your flag on your back like I'm.
Well, I hope I'm soldiering for everybody that's listening, no matter what side of the fence you may be on, because we should all be soldiering for the truth. To get past the sound bites, get past the talking points, get past the innuendos, and show it or shove it. Certainly that happened to Mr. Giuliani today. Somebody just reminded me on the text line, maybe we should reinvigorate a little Willy Wonka. Good day, sir. I say to you, good day. I mean, heck yeah. Okay, we might not get through all of the juicy bits about this case, but I'm certainly going to tell you about it. Guy was sentenced today in Arizona for threatening elections workers. His name is Mark Rizzi. He's 65 years old. Some of the stuff he said is just absolutely beyond the pale. Here are a couple of samples. He called up the chair of the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, who did his constitutional duty, observed his oath, and certified the outcome of the Maricopa County election. And this was the voicemail that Mr. Rizzi, the first one, that he left for Mr. Hickman, a longtime Republican serving 10 years on the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, its chairman. Hello, Mr. Hickman. I am glad that you are standing up for democracy, and I want to want to place your hand on the Bible and say that the election was honest and fair. You may be thinking, so far, so good. So was Mr. Hickman. But the voicemail continued. I really appreciate that. When we come to lynch your stupid, lying commie blank, you'll remember that you lied on the effing Bible. He used the word, you piece of S. You're going to die, you piece of S. We're going to hang you. We're going to hang you. And by the way, this wasn't like a rage message. This guy spoke calmly and slowly. Weeks later, he called back. Okay? And he left another absolutely horrifying voice message. He also called the attorney general, long-standing Republican in Arizona, and said this. Do your job, Brnovich, or you will hang with those sons of blankety blanks in the end. We will see to it, torches and pitchforks. That's your future. Do your job. By the way, this AG basically entertained the election denier baloney. He ordered up the totally debased, illegitimate audit that, oh, what did it do? Oh, yeah, it proved that Biden won, even though it was run by a bunch of hacks. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. Here's what Mr. Rissi, the defendant, had to say in court today. It was horrifying, he said, referring to having to listen to the messages that he left for these public servants. I did this. It's my fault. I accept responsibility, and I am deeply sorry. It's really a sad, sad time when us regular folks, us peons who work as public servants, like these two women in Georgia, like this county board supervisor, chairman in Maricopa County, when these regular people not making a lot of money, when doing our duty to the best of our ability in good faith, now becomes a matter of life and death. So today, folks, what happened was that a Trump-appointed judge sentenced Mr. Rizzi to 33 months. He's 65. 33 months in prison. You combine that with the other federal judge in Georgia today entering default judgment because people are lying and it is resulting in real psychological damage, real death threats. Judge Chutkan is getting death threats from this crazy racist in Texas. What have I been saying all along? That the words matter, y'all. And they result in violence. Tucker wants to insinuate that Donald Trump has to fear assassination. That's garbage. He walks around with a phalanx of Secret Service. He arrives in a motorcade. What about the women in Georgia, sir? Are you worried about their safety? Are you worried about the Maricopa County Board Supervisor? Because here's what this Trump judge had to say about these threats. This cuts to the core of how our democracy functions. I'm sentencing you today to generally deter this sort of behavior. Your wrongdoing was unambiguous and crossed a serious line. And while the Maricopa County Board Supervisor Chairman begged for compassion and mercy for his tormentor, the judge, in sentencing him to 6 months over what the DOJ requested, said, I believe I am acting with compassion. The compassion that Trump-appointed judge is showing is compassion for regular public servants, the peons, the working folks. It's compassion for those of us who do not wish our voices and our votes to be silenced and stolen because it is advantageous to the great orange man.
It is compassion for our democracy. And I ask you, use that as the litmus test for every elected official. Is the compassion that you show, the concern that you show for the due process rights of Donald Trump and his ilk, do you extend that same compassion to those two women in Georgia and to our democracy as a whole? And unless you can say you do, I suggest you show it or shove it. I'm Maggie Dawn. This has been the Maggie Dawn Show. Thank you for listening. I'll be back tomorrow, and I will break down all of this business with the Wisconsin Supreme Court. See you then.
That's what champions are made of.
I am the champion.
If I could be you,
and you could be me, for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.